Yes, my people, welcome to another episode of Inside AFTV. Now, I had Robbie a couple weeks ago, then I had Turkish. Now it's time for the next presenter of the foursome, really, of all four of us.
Jesus Christ.
It sounds a bit bad, isn't it? Of the foursome, don't clip that. I've got James B with me, ladies and gentlemen. You good?
Yeah?
I'm wondering what I'm doing here, but yeah, I'm
good. Come on, James.
I'm normally sat in the background just criticizing and critiquing and writing notes.
But yeah, and let me just start with that, James, because people, they won't know that are listening or watching that James kind of put the podcast together. So for all of you listening to various podcasts that we now offer,
I mean loosely,
well, yeah,
I said we should do podcasts and yeah, then you did the rest,
but you manage, you are the podcast, technically the podcast manager, the overseer, shall we say.
Well, maybe I should chuck that on the Twitter bio.
Yeah. But no, I just want to start by giving you your flowers and saying thank you, because this would obviously, yes, it was, everyone has their own podcast, it's their idea, but if it wasn't for you saying we need podcasts and we need to start looking at having this sort of avenue of AFTV, this wouldn't be alive. So thank you. Okay, to start with, it's a nice start, you know.
I'm worried I'm going to regret it, but
no, definitely
see
not.
How this goes. And thank you for having me. It's I've never done anything like, I mean, it's one thing going on a show and talking about Arsenal.
Oh no, you see, he's been shaking your legs.
I'm a little bit nervous. This little stand on the table.
Yeah.
This should be fun.
No, James, I think this is the perfect place to kind of be for you as well right now, in a sense that, like you said, you've got an extensive knowledge on Arsenal, but this show is for about you, and you don't really let out too much on social media. You don't really use Instagram, you don't use the Snapchats, yeah, Facebooks. Yes, on Twitter you are quite vocal, but that's about Arsenal. So now I think it's only right we get to hear about you and, you know, your story, your journey here. The theme of today, ladies and gentlemen, so...
Right, so you've not been... I've been trying to find out, and you've not... And we're not just saying that, by the way. Like, you... Because when we were building this podcast, I always said, like, let's make sure there's a theme. There's something that will centre around every episode.
Yep.
And I guess when you talk about managing podcasts, that's basically what I do. I'm the boring one. But I kept trying to find out what this was going to be. You wouldn't tell me.
No, I wouldn't tell you. I think it ruins it. If I tell people the theme of the pod and what we're trying to dig deep into, it'll ruin it. You will start preempting what I'm going to ask you and whatnot. But we're going to go straight into it. The theme for today, ladies and gentlemen, is misperception. And James is the perfect man for this.
Wow, misperception. Okay.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that... People
is that a word?
I think it is a word. I had to Google it.
Yeah, for a second.
And I struggled saying it so much. I kept saying misappropriation, misrepresentation. Misrepresentation. I was like, no, this has to be a word. But yes, misperception.
Yeah, No, of course it's a word.
Which,
yeah,
of course. Yeah. So just people may not assume the things that you actually enjoy and what you like and the stories of where you've come from and how you've kind of made it to this point. And we're going to kind of break that all down today. Let's start as well. Our birthdays are very similar. I know this is off the record, but we're very close in birthdays, same age as well, which is one thing people may not know. People might say, so you act like a four-year-old. Pretty true.
We're both 40.
But we are the same age. Let me just check in with you. How was your birthday? Everything good?
Yeah, good.
We both just had our birthdays.
I've got to say, because mine was kind of ruined last year by lockdown. The whole rule, I think the rule of six was a thing. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? With every pint, you had to have like a sirloin steak. Or a pie or a burger,
yeah,
whatever it is. And oh my God, that was a joke. So it was kind of ruined by that and not being able to see more than a couple of people or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think my girlfriend was just kind of locked at uni. So she obviously couldn't come back and forth.
Yeah.
So this year, kind of more than made up for it. I mean, obviously you guys surprised me on the stream, which was nice. Saw a lot of old friends as well. Did some stuff. Night out in London, Piccadilly, that was fun. We went all out for it, but it was needed, you know.
Yeah, like, trust me,
it was needed. But it was good. Thanks. How was yours?
No, it was really nice. It was really nice.
So you were up the shard.
I enjoyed it, but you know, this is going to be more about you. So we're going to quickly straight go back to. I did enjoy my birthday, but thank you for asking. Obviously, like I said, we are very close.
How was the massage?
Wasn't great. But
have you spoken publicly about?
No. There will be a time where, you know, I'll relay some stories. I've got loads of stories, but we'll relay that.
One day we're going to swap.
Yeah, and we'll break down things. But obviously, you just said there, you needed, obviously, that time for your birthday to enjoy.
Yeah.
how are you? This is the beginning of the Inside AFTV. How are you? How are you today? How are you? Not just a, yeah, I'm good, Cecil, but everything. You've been, because we've worked hard. I see you every day. We do really, I think people don't understand how much work goes into a lot of what happens at AFTV. How are you in general, obviously? Yeah, living by yourself now, or with a friend now, like, you know, there's a lot of things happening in your life. How are you at the moment?
No, I am good. I know that's a really boring answer. But I think more specifically, I'm feeling, I'd say, refreshed. Took a couple of days. Mm-hmm. It always helps when Arsenal are doing well.
Right.
And I know Arsenal don't dictate my life. I know that might be hard for people to kind of think, what, you know, you work for a fan channel, covers Arsenal, but if Arsenal lose on a Saturday midday,
right,
I can still have a good weekend. I can still enjoy my life and spend time with my girlfriend and my friends, or see my family, whatever. But from the work perspective, and I love working with all of you, there's no doubt that if Arsenal aren't in good form, it plays a part. And Arsenal have been in really good form. I enjoy going up to Leicester to that time to spend some time with my girlfriend's family as well. So I've just kind of like, it's been good. I've seen people. I've been refreshing my mind. I feel good. I feel excited about a lot of the stuff coming for AFTV.
Like I
can't complain. I don't, you know, when you're being interviewed about yourself on a podcast, it can be very easy to kind of wax lyrical about certain things, but it's a pretty amazing job. So
James, I think what you said there is, well, you're finding the balance, considering Arsenal also found form as well, found great good form at the moment, and it's good to, you can go see your partner and watch football and do your work. Like,
but you know what it is? You know what it is, though? It's finding time for, and I've seen a few comments on videos, and I laugh at them, I don't tell them, but I saw someone say, oh, James is enjoying his food. And I thought, that's the second chin making appearance. But I am finding it hard to find things like regular exercise in my life. Or like, it's so easy when you get back. If you do news daily, right, you're here till 7. You probably get back around 8, 8:30, whatever.
Yeah.
By the time you've cooked, it's like 9, 9:30. You just want to chuck chicken dippers in the oven. But I'm half Italian. I love my cooking. But those kind of things are difficult to fit into life. But yeah, you figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're in your mid-20s, not 40, as I joked. Not a good joke. But when you're in your 20s, those things, you feel a little bit invincible. You kind of think, it's fine. I'll eat what I want, I'll go for a run.
Yeah, but the comments are obviously quick always to remind you of how you look. And
I remember
when
I lost my glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone. But like, for the streams after, have you found your glasses? James, how are you doing?
They do not miss a trick. They don't miss anything. Right, let's get into then the misperception. Let's start with, you just said there, you're half Italian. That was news to a lot of people, I think. I think during the Euros, you were supporting Italy very, very passionately. And I think some fans thought it was, he's just doing it for work.
Robbie needed an Italian.
I want to kind of, we're going to start with that and just say, your Italian roots. What do you identify with most? Who's Italian from your family? Do you speak it? Do you enjoy the culture? Do you still have a lot of it? Talk to me.
Yeah, it's a good question, because the big one there was, do you identify with your Italian side and all that. It really is half and half. You know, my mum's 100% Italian.
Yeah.
Moved to the country when she was, I think, 17, 18. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my dad's fully English. I've lived here all my life. Slight lie. I lived in Italy for a year.
But he was born here.
Born in England, right. I got a lot of family in Italy. It's difficult because most of my family are in Italy. I've got my grandma, I've got 5 cousins out there, aunties, uncles, the lot. Hella dogs. They've got so many dogs out there. Which, if you'd ever come out, you'd just understand. Like, we get picked up in a... It's like, you know Scooby-Doo, the van?
It's
one of those big old trucks. Seriously? There's like 4 black Labradors in the back.
Bloody
hell. Yeah. They love their dogs more than they love us kids. But there's a great life out there.
But
it's always been the holiday life. It's always been the visiting my family, Italian life, wherever. The things I've kind of always tried to take from kind of Italian culture, not consciously, are just things like, I don't know, I'm a bit of a, I stay up late. That's kind of a very Italian, it's more of a Spanish thing.
I love
a nap. Again, that's all Spanish. That's siestas.
I'm the same. I'm
there's a bit of that in Italian culture. eating like good food. Like I know I was kind of just joking about about chucking chicken dippers in the oven, but that is, I'll very rarely do that. Even if I am exhausted, I'll always try cook something genuinely. Yeah. I'm not even saying healthy. I'm not saying lots of greens or whatever. I'll just try and cook something good. Mm. Like if I'm making meat or pasta or whatever, make it good. Like I take pride in all that. Yeah, love my grandma a lot and out there. Yeah. But then I've got a couple cousins in England.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. Like I've always grown up here.
Yeah,
but there's
definitely
things about Italian culture that I kind of get to grips with a bit more. When I lived in Bologna for my year abroad. Like anyone should go out there.
But when
I was there, the pace at which they do things, that's the one thing I'll give English people, like organized to the point. You send in a form, you're gonna hear back, you get confirmation, whatever.
That's why I'm surprised as well, because you're very efficient. Like here at work, like you have a list of things you have to get
that's
done.
That's a recent thing.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Sorry to cut, because I went on my year abroad, I was very like student, whatever, I'll be fine. I'm just moving to another country, it's not a big deal. And that whole year was pure anxiety. You know, people talk about depression and anxiety and stuff.
Yeah,
I can't sit here and say that I've really felt those things.
Right.
Other than that year where, not depression, but anxiety.
Mm.
Like every little thing left me on edge, like whatever. And I came away from that year having, in the end, had a really good time, but for a lot of it thinking, don't ever live a year, when I say a year I mean September to summer, don't ever live a year of your life like that, that disorganized ever again.
It changed from
that point on.
That's why you see
these spreadsheets colors and all that.
So it affected you. Definitely affected you then. You made a conscious decision to make that change.
It didn't help that their system was just a complete mess. I mean, like, you needed something done, it'd take weeks, but otherwise good food and lovely people.
Good. You spoke about taking a year out. Now this is a misperception I think I might have seen online, is kind of your schooling. Were you private schooled? Were you not? I don't know. I want the world to know that. Did you go to private school or was it more state school?
Yeah, it's funny, you know.
we're gonna get through everything.
The reason I did. I was very lucky. I had a very good upbringing.
Mm.
You know, I was very, very lucky. You hear that like 50% of parents get divorced or whatever.
Yep.
Mine stay together. Very lucky. Have a younger brother, so always had company around me. Had good friends, and my parents put me in a good school. I think I was state school till like year seven. Year seven, I went to a private school.
Yeah, yeah.
Good school, good people. Like, this wasn't kind of, if you don't go to Oxford and Cambridge, we don't want you. Like, there was. I played a lot of sport. Like, there was a lot of... But I was very lucky.
Yeah, you're a sporty guy. You are.
The thing was that, you know, I probably come across with my glasses or whatever as a bit of a... Like, a bit of an academic or...
Well,
I do the stats stuff.
That's right. Yeah. And this is where I want to dig a little bit deeper, because I know some people may say, James was lucky, had an easy ride, very educated. I met you and I was like, wow, you know your stuff. You're very on it. But I've also been told that an English teacher told you you're shit. That's what I got told. I got told you weren't good at English at all by a teacher, which shocked me when I heard.
Yeah.
Did some research. Some people tell me some stories.
There was one parents' evening. it didn't go well. It was like, I think she told me that I had no hope for my GCSEs.
Wow.
And that my grades were dire.
Oh wow.
So yeah.
And so, here you are.
It's not just Eric Dyer causing me problems. It's this as well. I don't think I've ever been a unintelligent person. No, I'm not saying I'm intelligent, but I don't think I've ever been unintelligent or thick or in any way. I just didn't care. Like, and what I mean, I didn't care. I was always polite. I was never like the kid who was throwing like
glue,
you know, like spitballs at the teacher. Like a ball of something. It was. I was never doing that. I wasn't even like an annoying.
Were you a quiet student? But just,
no. Like, my teachers liked me.
Yeah,
they knew I was friendly and polite and stuff. But I didn't work hard enough. Like, I didn't care about Macbeth. Like, I didn't care about. Then we did Midsummer Night's Dream and Great Gatsby, and they'd be looking at me like, "What does the green light on the shore represent?"
Yeah.
I couldn't give a fuck. Why are you asking me this? And it was funny because I had this moment where I did work experience for the Mirror, I think.
Okay.
And I realised I wanted to be a journalist. I was like, my brain soaks football knowledge in like a sponge. Like I can do this. I can make something of this.
Yeah.
And I started writing. I realised I was a good writer. And I thought, how did I go 7 years of education without ever being made to feel like I was good at writing or expressing myself?
Yeah.
So yeah, at school, my good subjects were Italian, Spanish, and French.
Well,
shock.
Yeah, of course.
And the idiot that I am decided to drop two of them for A level. So I kept Italian, and I started three new ones. I did economics, psychology, and philosophy.
Wow.
Why?
Did you have interest in any of them?
No. So psychology, yes. Psychology was great.
Yep.
Economics, I thought, in fairness, I've taken things from it that I'm glad I know about, just in the day-to-day running of life.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And then philosophy, you know, what is the mind? What is the soul? I'm like, oh, just... Like, it was interesting for like 5 minutes. And then you're right. And by the way, for anyone who loves those subjects, great. Like, they are interesting. But I didn't have the interest to really pursue it, like, intellectually, let's say. So I should have just done French and Spanish. And my brother's had the opportunity of learning from all my mistakes. So he went in his A-levels and did Italian, French, Spanish, and psychology.
Smashed them?
No. When I say I was bad academically, he was worse.
Oh, wow.
Love you, Will.
Oh, wow. So you said you found your love for writing. We did work experience. So that was later on, I guess, in your life, and so you didn't take up English
or
creative writing. Did you not take that up?
No, I went to uni. Went to Kent. Loved it at Kent.
Yeah,
like, what an eye opener just for me and my life, and like, yeah, Kent was really good for me.
Yeah, is this where you found your love for, let's say, your trap music love, the Migos, Dave, or were you a fan of trap? Because this is another misperception, ladies and gentlemen. James loves trap music, and when he's bobbing in the studio to these songs, I'm like, I would never ever expect this guy to love this sort of music, and I do as well. But you know every lyric, every bar. You like the bars as well from Dave. You recite them back to me just before we started. Everyone, he was singing some bars as well. So
Professor X, is it?
Right, yeah. Exactly, by Dave. Yeah. So was this found in uni? Was your uni experience an eye opener? I don't want to say life changing, but from the stories I've heard from you personally, it feels like that kind of opened you up to different cultures, different people, and I guess different way of life.
Kent, I think Kent was known as the UK's European University, which doesn't quite do justice. It brought in a lot of people from a lot of different places, backgrounds, upbringings, wealthiness, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in and amongst lots of different people through football. The one thing I'll give myself credit for, I did lots of societies. Mm. I went to their charity society. I did the football thing. I'd go on the swim social societies in my last year. Yeah, bloody I didn't swim. You know, and I always throw myself out there. So I met loads of different people. And my friends, basically on the music thing, that's where it came from. We had this Friday night. The club was called Venue. It was the campus club.
Yeah.
And it was great because the first thing that gets you there is know that you're always going to see people you know.
Right.
But then, yeah, the music was always a hip-hop R&B track.
Was that just in one main room, or was it? Because normally, that back in the day, when
there was one big club, multiple floors, but it had like one dance floor that would over kind of... It'd be like the centrepiece of it all.
Yeah, will there be a hip-hop room and then the centrepiece is just the one room,
yeah.
Seriously?
Well, but it's a big place.
But, and they were playing hip-hop in that main room?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, that's unlikely. I don't know, I never went to uni, but obviously when I went clubbing, there was normally the hip-hop room's the small one, they only have a pop, like, main floor. But
it's funny because I can kind of recall my my journey into trap music was like, first it was kind of like, rap music light. It was Fetty Wap. Fetty.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, 17, 30, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then with time, I think quickly into Travis Scott, just easy. Drake, obviously.
Of course.
And then Migos, 21, whatever. Yeah. And then I started listening to more UK rock because my brother loves his music.
So
he'd show me Dave, he'd show me Notes, who I did call Not 3S once. Who else is there?
Yeah, Fredo and stuff, like the UK people.
I'm not a massive music lover. You see people who have thousand songs downloaded or whatever. I listen to the same stuff all the time.
Why are you lying? You have playlists of 80 songs and you have your own playlists and you literally built them.
But that's not, yeah. Well, yeah.
So
you know what? They've got the, I've got to show you this, right?
Go on, show me.
I've
got to show, go on.
I made these trap playlists. And at first, I was kind of doing them as a little bit of a joke.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
basically we'd have these pre-drinks, so I'd invite friends around, and we'd, you know, I'd just whatever music you like, send it over, I'll chuck it on, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So after I realised I was accumulating a lot, I started, you know how like Now 63 will have like the adverts, the latest pop music.
Of course.
Right, so track one, I put the first instalment in this series of playlists of the best trap music
wow.
hitting the streets.
Oh, wow.
I put that description in my playlist, track two.
James.
Follow-on edition of this top-selling album with all the best trap music around. There we go.
And he's public. Can the people yep. listening and yeah, so they yeah, can go on, they can go on.
No, this is the best one. Trap three. Three is here. Trap music keeps on coming in our third playlist of the series. I know it's... I'm on now trap seven.
Oh, wow. So you're yeah. now trapped. So now you're now trap seven. So that's.
I'm being very self-deprecating here because I'm quite embarrassed about all that. But you know what?
It makes great for this content.
It was kind of like in-group banter. Except I don't think anyone found it funny. It was just me, really.
Okay, clearly. But and you've made it public, so everyone listening, yeah, they can yeah, go everyone, check out those playlists as well.
Yeah.
So what are they trap? What's it called? So
it's just trap one through wow. seven.
Okay. Well, guys,
I didn't have any better name for it.
You've heard the descriptions of them, so when you find yeah. them, make sure you let James know. This is quite a silly misperception. We're gonna. Yeah. Move on to this one now. Your glasses, are they for show, or are you generally long or short sighted?
Okay, so I actually had an eye test like a week ago.
Oh, interesting. Go on.
I am long sighted. No, I'm short sighted.
Right,
which means I struggle to see in the distance, but like barely. So if I were to be labelled one or the other, it's that.
Right.
But the reason I got these was because. Again, we're going now back to sort of post-uni, and I decided I wanted to be a journalist, and I was writing loads of articles. You're staring at a white screen, you've got Word or Pages up or whatever, and you're typing for hours, and everything you're in class is like forever just fixed on a screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I was getting headaches within like an hour or two of the day, so I actually got glasses to kind of ease it on
the
my
harshness.
Eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
When I did the test, they have you ever done an eye test?
No, actually.
Mad. They'll It's so cool.
They make
you realise all your visual flaws quite quickly.
Yeah, I think that's why. I think as a black man, I get scared to go to like even get checkups, go into the opticians, dentist. But I should. You're right. I think that's something I need to take.
And they'll put a lens on. They'll be like, "Can you read that?" I'm like, "Oh, a bit of a struggle," but I'm like, "It's far away." Like whatever.
Yeah.
They'll put a lens on. I'm like, "Oh, it's clear as day." Like it's sure. mad. Yeah,
I should
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I should go check that out.
Yeah, yeah, but it's nothing particularly strong. If people put these on, they'd actually be like, "Why are you wearing these?"
Okay, okay. But
they have like a long term effect,
right? So not for show. They're for you. Generally,
they're more
used for
show. They are more for show. Like when I lost my glasses a couple of weeks ago, like I was fine. Like I got through. It wasn't a problem.
Okay,
but I'm glad that I'm wearing them. Do you know what they're good for?
Go on.
Tired eyes. Yeah. See the bags under your eyes.
Oh, mate.
Yeah,
you know how. Yeah, you know.
Put these on. Nice. And people can focus on that and. Makes my chubby face look a bit thinner.
Oh, don't start with that. I think I might need to have a look at going to get an eye test to see if I can get some glasses. But let's go forward on to, I think people, your knowledge of the game and understanding it is for me, second to none. And from someone who's been in the game and as a player, having breakdown sports scientists sitting me down in meeting rooms and breaking down the play and how we should attack teams, no one broke down a team as well as when I first met you, and you were like, "Oh, this look out for this. Look how Arsenal do this." So I think people misperceive you in the sense that you might have your coaching badges done. I don't know. I'm sure that's not true. You haven't had any coaching badges.
I did almost all of my first. Then COVID hit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Before AFTV was a thing, not a thing, a thing for me, a thing that I got into. I was doing my coaching badges whilst working somewhere else, and I had coaching on my mind as a career.
Yeah.
But I think deep down I always wanted to be content creation in some way or whatever. It's fun. You're really sweet about, you know, saying that I, you know, my
but it's the truth.
Again, very sweet. And I've had a few others big up, like, you know, Sophie, TV Guna, go check out her channel. Yeah, she's always said that your knowledge is that's all really, I mean, my knowledge, it's not all that, you know. You compare it to journalists in the game, you compare it to even people who have been watching football for 10-20 years longer. I just think it comes to me quite easily.
Yeah.
Like I've always played a lot of like Football Manager. People joke about it, they banter me about it, but the amount you learn about what positions and roles mean I could describe, you know, that word, mezzala, mezzala.
Yeah,
but, you know, there's mezzala, a can of Coke out the pizzeria. But, you know, those words, you know, another Italian word, trequartista, but, you know, all these different roles you can have. I've learned that from playing that game. And I've always just kind of like, I listen to pundits a lot. I listen to your Nevilles, your Carragers, even the ones that aren't very good, I listen to them because they're there for some reason. So I've always just tried to take things from them and not regurgitate it, but like reapply it. You know, and with AFTV, and this isn't to insult the AFTV fan base in any way, shape or form, but I don't think they're looking for heavy, heavy detail. I think they want to be, I think they just want to learn a little bit more about the tactical side of things or whatever in a very like digestible way. And I think the minute, as you said, the minute you get someone who's overly breaking it down, talking about data and numbers, that those things are important,
right?
But I think sometimes
it can
football
lose
can be simplified. So yeah, I mean, look at the Villa breakdown we did the other day before the game. You know, it's really simple,
and it was spot, but a lot of it was spot. It was simple, but it could have been, like you said, I think probably broken down a lot more in depth. But yeah, it was very simple, but it was, for me, it was effective. I think you predicted, when we did the build-up anyway, I don't know about tactical insight too much, but the build-up, you pretty much predicted how it was going to go.
That was a good one. That was a good one. I remember, I mean, even before Leicester, we didn't do the build-up together, but I was saying in the previews, you know, they play the same formation that Villa played against us. So we should walk all over them. Guess what? We did till they changed it up. These things aren't difficult. They're just the way I look at it. But people can watch football in a lot of different ways. It's just, I've always just been a, like really intrigued by that kind of thing. It's really not a knowledge thing or a whatever, like, which is really kind, like I and it means a lot, and it really makes me feel good when people say that, but it's just a different way of kind of viewing it, I suppose.
It's fascinating to me, James, and I had to speak on it because, you know, like yesterday I was at a professional football club. Even when I speak to young pros that are currently in the game, they don't understand the game as well as you. This is why I have to say it. And I know it sounds crazy. You said, okay, I regurgitate some stuff, I listen to people. But the players that are playing today, a lot of them don't. I'm going to be honest. They rely, obviously, on their talent, and they play the game. They understand what their jobs are. But even me, when I was playing, I wouldn't have got such a further scope and knowledge of the sport from sitting with you, breaking things down throughout the week, talking about clubs and how we attack a team, how we beat a team. That comes from sitting with you.
I appreciate that, but I mean, I didn't like football till I was
I had that written down, bro. That was the next one.
So, did his research.
So let's go into that, because before, let's go into it in this sense as well, that a misperception that you don't play football at all. So everyone's like, look at this guy doing the numbers and stats.
He's never
kicked a ball in his life. So let's talk about that, because obviously I was told by your family that you actually didn't like football, and that's, I want you to talk on it heavily, because I didn't as well. It's nothing to embarrass about with that, because I hated football after I left playing. And
do you know what? I'll own it.
Go on.
I'll own this whole,
here we go,
I didn't
segment.
Like football.
Go on.
And this is, as I said, we're doing a podcast about like me, and that feels very but I'll have one moment of perhaps being a little big headed or whatever, but
I love this, James, by the way. Go on.
I think if I had started playing football when my dad tried to get me into it, I think I'd have gone far in it. Personally. And I don't regret it. But I think my brother might have been the same. I didn't like football for a long time. But the mad thing is, I can remember so distinctly when I started to. So I was about maybe like 6, 7, whatever. And my dad used to take me to the local common, get me involved in these Saturday morning football clubs.
Yeah, I heard about this.
I hated it. It was raining, kids were kicking me. I was like, what the fuck are you kicking me? Like, dad, I don't want to do this, what's this shit? Like, what do you mean I got to put this ball in that net? Like, leave me alone, like, whatever. I cried, I was a nightmare. Like, the thing is, I was a bit of a nightmare child. I mean, my mum said, like, she'd invite people around for dinner, and she'd look in the corner. This was when I was a baby, like 2, 3 years old, whatever, sorry, I'm making my mum sound irresponsible. I don't know how old I was. I might have been 5. But like, she'd look over and I was like, like I was in like the knife drawer, but at the moment, what are you, you know,
it's a young boy, yeah, a young boy.
I was a young kid. I remember swallowing a coin and blaming it on my brother when I was like six. Yeah.
Okay, that's correct.
I was like six or seven. I convinced my mum that my brother made me swallow this coin.
Wow.
She took me to the, like, yeah. I know.
You that's
learn,
a story.
This really is inside AFT. You learn a lot about me.
Trust me.
I had like the worst eczema. Mm. My granddad, he passed away in 2001. He called me Gattugia, which in English means cheese grater.
Oh my god!
Because my skin was so rough, like
it's
I had the worst.
That bad.
Eczema. Yeah, so I was just like this sensitive, like piece of shit kid who didn't want to play football, who paid for private school and didn't want to work, whatever. But I went to. Yeah, football, wasn't into it. And instead, I got into swimming. I really enjoyed swimming.
Okay.
I did some swimming with my good friend. His mum would take us on Tuesdays, I think, whatever. I'd swim in, like, the swimming gala from my... Very middle class. In the swimming gala from my school or whatever.
Yeah.
And again, I was probably about 8 or 9 when I turned around and I just went... I think the moment was when my dad showed me Jaws, the film.
Yeah,
and I was
of course.
I don't want to swim anymore.
I mean, that makes sense. I think a lot of young people from our era as well, our age.
Why did you show me that? The age
Jaws is the
7 or 8, whatever.
Facts,
I never know.
Facts.
By the way, I have great parents. I've had stress.
Man, we both put disclaimer.
In the knife
yeah.
drawer, showing me Jaws, chucking me on a football pitch. They're amazing to me. But I wasn't really into the whole swimming thing. I was fine. I wasn't even that good.
Yeah.
And Arsenal were a good team. My dad was always watching it, and. Mm. I remember the Champions League final.
Right.
I remember watching that.
Yeah, yeah.
And heartbreak. I kind of got hooked. I remember, do you remember the goal film?
Mm-hmm. Goal, yeah, of course,
goal,
of course.
Goal, goal
yeah,
they
yeah,
got,
yeah.
They got me hooked.
They were good. They were really good.
Yeah, all that.
Except they went on too long. They made like goal 1, 2, 3. It went a bit.
The third was trash.
Yeah, it's terrible.
What a load of rubbish.
But yeah.
They had such a good setup. She was pregnant. Was she going to take him back? They ruined it. I know. Depressing.
But that kind of built you into starting to like football.
But I
did you watch Bendit Like Beckham as well? Was that around that era as well for you?
I saw it late, but I did see
okay, that.
I
used to love that.
I went
well.
From 0 to 100. Suddenly I was obsessed with football.
And
I was playing on Saturdays and then from my local club. But the point I'm trying to make is I picked it up really quickly.
Mm.
I picked it up really quickly.
Oh, I see.
I kind of felt like
really took it serious, you could have made something for yourself, or at least challenged. Because I always say that when we played Algebra Touch, I could see you have technical ability, but you're very good with both feet, which is not normal in my opinion. I play with both feet, and obviously the high level people do, but it's such a big thing to certain people, like, oh my god, you can use both feet. It's like, that should be a basic. And I know you said that as well. It's like, that should be a standard. And what you're saying to me, I do understand. I don't know how far you could have went if you took it serious, but you definitely could have played to at least a non-league sort of level as well. But yeah,
you know, when I was saying I watch it in a different way sometimes, people might listen to that or be hearing that and going, oh, shut up, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But it staggers me, and I'm not criticising them, it's just how I see it. It staggers me when some people go, oh, is Odegaard left or right footed? Like, he's left. How do you not know that?
Yes.
But I kind of noticed, like, Arsenal have had a lot of great left footed players over the years.
Right.
Van Persie, Ozil, Wilshere, even at centre-back for Marlon. Mm-hmm. Well, great, but you know, get what I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm very talented because Ola was two-footed. You look at Bukayo Saka now.
Yeah.
And because I watched the game so much, I would find myself, when I was playing the game, trying to emulate things and not go, oh, God, cutting on my right. If it was on my left, I'd try it on my left because I saw Van Persie had done on his left. Mm-hmm. As well, I was playing for school once and I scored this goal, like, I was kind of putting down the left of the penalty area and I just smacked a left foot into the bottom corner. It wasn't a great level, but whatever.
Yeah.
And I only ever did that because I watched Van Persie play. And like, that's how I always process the game.
Right.
But no, I was an okay player. I played to a decent level at uni and that was it. I was okay. But I did hate it.
Yeah,
I did hate it at first.
I think that's a surprising fact here, and what you said there is that you hate football. But again, I did as well after I left playing, but that's a story for another day as well. But we can talk about you then finding love for football and you winning the Kent double at uni. I think that is
you found that out.
I found out. Well, listen, I've done some digging, so let's just quickly talk on that, because I know that was a big moment for you and your university, but I know for you especially, because you took a lot of pride in that Kent University football team. And let's not get twisted, university football is not a joke. It's not a low level standard football. A lot of pros that fall out of the game and get released end up in universities and playing football. So yeah, just talk
the best way I can describe the level is I did a trial for Kent first team. And when I turned up for the trial, well, it wasn't Kent first, it was for all the teams. When I turned up for the trial, you were being told, you know, oh, that guy, he's on the bench for Accrington Stanley tomorrow, and that guy's doing that. And I'm like, oh my God, that guy's with Gillingham. And you're like, oh my God, okay, like bloody hell, this is a decent level. Obviously, I didn't get in, but what happened at, I think a lot of unis is, if you're not going for football, like big time in your life, or you're not playing for the first team, you don't really want to do the travelling around South England and all that. So you play for your college team.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd often say that the best teams in the college leagues could take on the Kent second team. And I've just illustrated what the first team level's like.
Right.
So they were good. And anyway, yeah, I was there first year, second year, third year I went on my year abroad, came back fourth year. The team had kind of fallen apart, but I knew people from 2 years before. So I put myself up as captain. They just gave it to me because they were like, you want to do it, so do it.
Fair.
Rebuild the team, and yeah, we won the league and cup, which was good.
Yeah. Did you bench yourself enough in one of the...
You found out a lot, haven't you?
Bro, I've been digging.
There was a thing, and I worked with, like, the captains before were great people and very good players. But the captain's not always the best player. And I knew I'd enjoy it more if the team was winning.
Yeah.
It wasn't about just me playing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There was some... I would give a shout out to a guy called Danny, Alex, proper footballers. They played in my position. They're better than me. They played.
So very selfless.
One game I turned up in chinos and a long jacket. I went, all right, Pep. I went, well, I'm not even on the bench today. I've got too many of you, so enjoy yourselves.
Serious? Yeah. You kicked yourself out the whole squad? Blimey,
James. Yeah, but that's...
But as a captain, that's, like I said, it's a selfless act. I mean, you are a very selfless
person.
It was
fun, like, we won. And, you know, I was at training, it was good.
Okay, yeah. Look at you. You're
it was good fun.
Yeah, you're doing the humble thing, I like
my,
it.
My housemate, he was a backup goalkeeper, except he wasn't.
Yeah.
And he was useless. He just wanted the shirt. So it was good. We had a good community. You've met him, Anton.
Yeah.
He had a good community there. It was good. Like, okay. Everyone wanted to be a part of it, and it was good fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations as well on winning that double, because I know it did mean a lot to you. We spoke about your brother Will and what a legend he is.
He's something.
He is. And there's a misperception that if you guys, you probably wouldn't have met him. You may have seen photos, but people misperception that he's older than you. He looks
5 years older, and he's 5 years younger.
He's 5 years younger.
4 and 10 months.
Oh, I didn't know he was that much younger than you. Wow. Yeah. But yeah,
he's on his year abroad now.
He's going through. Maybe he might have a life.
Except he's not having any of the problems I'm having. He's I'm like, what are you up to? How's life? He's like, I was just in Madrid.
Do you think you'll get more structured coming back off of what you learned when you went there, and was like, or do you think he's just gonna? I think he's a very chill guy. He's cool.
He's far better than me at the whole let life take you where it takes you. He went traveling for a couple months. He took a year out after school, and he did. Have you heard of Death Road in Colombia? I think it's in Colombia.
No, but okay, but go on.
Colombia or Chile? I can't remember. Anyway, it's Death Road. You go on a bike, but like, it's a small path, and like, if you slip, it's like a mountainous.
Oh.
But like,
well, he did that.
If it goes wrong, like, you're
brown bread.
You're finished.
Yeah.
Say goodbye.
Yeah.
And you know, he told me he was like flying down there, you know, like having a great time. I'm like, no, thanks.
Not me, boy. Nope.
Not for me.
Let me talk about Arsenal quickly, because this made me laugh. I'm going to show you the photo while I intro this. So, on Arsenal final days, you were known for dressing up all living rooms in all houses.
That's over the worst one.
Oh yeah, I've just got a nice little one here of you standing with your thumbs up. I will try and get up on the screen if we use this in a clip. But you can see you got your shirts hung up there. So is that a tradition of yours? Because I feel like everyone's sitting down there quite chilled, but you've took pride in decorating the whole.
I'm the house decorator. I am. Do you know what? And we'll, again, if this is a clip, well, we'll post it above here because I've got the photo. My dad's just kind of, he's a massive Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
But he's like, don't need it, just put on the TV.
Yeah.
Mum gets a bit more into it. Brother kind of likes it, but he won't put the effort in. I was, at school, I was mocked all the time for being an Arsenal fan.
Seriously?
9 years, no trophy.
Okay, yeah, it was around that. It was that
Arsene
time.
Wenger this, your team that, blah, 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 blah. So whenever we get to finals,
you made a big deal.
Yeah, make a big deal. It's going to hurt either way. If we lose, it's going to hurt either way.
Mm.
But if we win, and you're surrounded by all, you have a good time. So, although taking down the decorations for Europa League final day was a bad one.
Killer.
But generally, yeah, that's me. I'm always dumb decorating the house.
It's an interesting one. This one shocked me. When I got the photo sent through, I was like, oh, Jay, because obviously we do watch-alongs, and obviously you love a watch-along and get involved, whether it's going to be the semis or whatnot. Obviously, we weren't here when they did it in Box Park, but the big games, I never see you be like, let's start dressing things up and getting things. But I was told you'd be doing this for every final from quite a young age. So it definitely meant a lot to you.
It did. It's a special day.
Yeah,
but the funny thing about me, is why sometimes my girlfriend wants to tear my head off, is that I am so on it for a cup final. I'm so on it for things like that. You know, I'm always on time for an Arsenal game. Anything.
Yeah.
But when it's a birthday, you know, where are the banners? Where's the, you know, you're going to do anything nice for your brother's birthday?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Anniversaries? Like, sure. Do you do that for anniversaries?
I do, yeah. Okay, anniversary is different.
Okay, but birthdays are very
like,
chill.
I'm useless with. Or like turning up on time things. I'm used, like, it's almost like with Arsenal, I kick into gear. Like it's decorations, it's on time, it's everything must happen. But yeah, with
I think we share that in a sense that, so me, you, Robbie, when it comes to like anything Arsenal, we're there, we're up. Like even Robbie said in his last Inside AFTV for Black History Month, he was like, I used to wake up late for every day because I work in music and do nights out and work in events. But when it was Arsenal was playing, I'll be up. And same with you there, you said obviously for the finals and for me as well, like getting here on match day, I'm up buzzing. In the car, you know me, I come in with the, I'm excited every match day.
Yeah, I enjoy it, man.
Yeah, man, that's nice. It's good that I think Arsenal is the forefront of a lot of us, and no matter what happens in life, we can wake up for it and be excited for it. James, can you cook?
Yeah, I can cook.
You can cook.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this.
Oh no.
So, James, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh no.
I just showed him a photo of his own tomato sauce business that he had prepped. This is before AFTV, I believe. I was told that he
like
wanted to have
six,
his own.
6-7 years ago, yeah.
6-7 years? Yeah, yeah, 6-7 years ago. He wanted to have his own tomato sauce business.
sounds
very
wild.
Stereotypical, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Going from an Italian man.
No.
But I was told you're very passionate about the sauce.
Who the hell sent you that photo?
And you're mixing.
This has got Will written all over it, the bastard. Yeah.
So talk to us. So what? So you wanted to do your own tomato sauce business. Was this amongst the, I want to be a sports journalist.
No.
It's a new venture trying to earn money. Did you sell any of them?
No. My mum and brother, they all do. They all pick on me for being, and you'll know this from a year of working with me.
Right.
They call me an obsessive. Like,
yeah.
I get obsessed with things.
Yeah, you do.
I get fixated and kind of almost until it's dealt with. Until I kind of have got what I wanted out of the situation. Not in like a spoiled way or a stubborn way, just in a, like I focus on things a lot when it's in my head. And it sounds crazy, right? I thought one day I might be an entrepreneur. I might make something of myself. I don't even think I'm actually miles off that in a way.
Not,
I think
when you're
creating content, you're doing, and I'm doing it for AFTV, but
you're creating from the ground up.
Yeah.
Your own idea, making it come to
exactly.
life, and
getting
building a following from it. Of course.
So I think that's always kind of stayed with me. But I always felt like if there's one Italian product that's been replicated horrendously, like worldwide, as in being sold in supermarkets, it's tomato sauce.
Yeah.
It's all like pasta, tomato sauce. Like it did my head in. I'd go to people's houses.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for inviting me around. And they'd make a, they'd be a, would you like a spag bowl? I'm like, a what? A spag bowl? A what? A spaghetti bolognese? I'm like, oh, don't call
God.
It. Okay. And it'd be horrendous.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, I'm going to make my own and we're going to sell it. Turns out it's much harder than you think. But I gave samples out and people liked it. And it was a nice little venture I did. I named it after my grandma, which was nice. But I went far. Like, I made a logo. We built a website. Like,
yeah, it looks very professional.
I jarred it up. Yeah.
Yeah, I will get...
Not even the good pictures, but yeah.
I will get a photo on the screen. Or I'll get James to send me a professional photo of it all as well. And we'll get it popping up if we use it as a clip. But we'll put it on as well on the app. Visuals of this as well. But James, I'm actually very impressed by it.
I'll make it if you want. It's actually good.
No, I definitely would want to try some, and I'm impressed in the fact that you said that you were sick of tomato sauce in this country and thought, you know what, let me do my own. That is entrepreneurship. Like, that's how most people start their businesses.
But entrepreneurship is realizing that there's bumps in the road and you got to get over
them. Yeah, yeah.
Where I went, what's that? I'm all right.
So you found a stumbling block, or you found like a bump in the road. You said, you know what, this may be.
Look, there's still a gap in that market. I just can't be bothered to fill it. but it's there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was nice to do with my grandma, and I still make it, like, for myself or whatever, for, you know, the girlfriend or whoever's around.
I hear it's one of your top dishes, and you throw
one
on
of
everything
my top dishes,
from the family. But right, so let me speak about,
we've touched it, we've done school, we've done football, we've done work, we've done
Inside AFTV. Wow. This is what it's about. We need to know you.
I feel like I don't have any wild revelations, like, obviously Troops announced his engagement.
Yeah. Robbie spoke about a lot of his history and what he went through.
His story is incredible.
Yeah, Turkish, obviously.
Turkish story is incredible.
It's incredible. But so this is all new, though. This is all news. This is still incredible, James.
I might reveal that I'm Roy Hodgson's son. No.
That
explains the old facial
expressions. Yeah. Let's talk about the misperception of you either falling into this job here at AFTV, you didn't see it coming, or as some people may think, that you knew you was going to be here, that you was destined for this, and you felt like, I knew where I wanted to be, this is where I want to be. But, or did you fall into this role? Was it something that came up by chance? Because a lot of people always ask me, how did I end up here? And the same, I'm sure they ask you, oh, how did you get the job here at AFTV? So was it part of your plan, or did it just happen?
There was an advert on LinkedIn.
No, don't make it sound so dumb.
And I applied. And I got it. And now I'm here.
No. You know, I know for a fact there was a time, obviously, it was at another company, another media company, not that the stars aligned, but obviously you got made redundant there. And it kind of, the timing was
The timing's mental.
Of it.
The timing's mental because COVID, pandemic, furlough, yada, yada, yada. I get made redundant the day after AFTV announced that they're looking for presenters. When stars align, I don't know, but I liked AFTV. I watched it. You know, this wasn't a... Well, I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm not sure about them lot, but, you know...
You still like it. Let's not liked ED. You still
of course.
You was a fan of it from the...
But I watched it. I enjoyed it a lot. And I thought, okay, I don't know if I'm kind of what they're looking for, but whatever, I'll throw myself in. But it's what I kind of say to people. There's kind of one bit of advice I can give as a very young, inexperienced human being in this world is like, don't waste time. Because when I was on furlough and doing, it can be very easy with kind of, again, this is the second time I'll give myself some credit.
Go on.
A lot of people, I think, during furlough and COVID, shops are shut, can't really do anything, I'll chill out, I'll drink on Skype or whatever. Trust me, there's a lot of that.
Drink on Skype.
But, honestly, what a mess. I built an Arsenal website, which was built off making comic book match reports and stuff. And it was kind of for kids, but also had something for adults. And it was an idea I had since doing my master's. Again, feeds into the whole entrepreneur thing. Was I going to be? Was I not? I used the furlough money as almost my salary.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I'm being paid to do this now. And I did this, you know, I built this website for 4, 5, 6 months. And I did that while on furlough. I get made redundant. I send off 22 job applications in my first day of redundancy. And then AFTV came through.
Yeah, is website still about, or have you taken it down?
No, it doesn't exist anymore, because with these things, you can't half-ass them.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what AFTV was going to entail. and I had a business partner, I suppose. We were both paying the same amount for the running of the website. But the idea's still there, still parked away. It had some cool characters, like it had because as I said, it was based around kind of
comic book.
So you had the doctor who would analyse what went right and wrong with Arsenal.
Nice.
You had the inspector who would do his research on transfer rumours.
This is good. You should bring this.
It was really
back.
Cool.
Yeah.
And one day I might revive it. It was good. It was one of my. Whereas I look at the tomato sauce idea and go, that was good fun, but like, what were you thinking? With this
I love the tomato sauce idea.
Right. But with this one. I still back that idea, big time. But
good. No, I'd like to see the return of that, and I'm sure people
is there anything
listening.
You don't know about my life?
No, I know quite a lot, to be fair. I told you, we're not just work colleagues. We started together, we ride together, you're my guy now. A quick misperception of that, when you started AFTV, that you struggled in a sense of, I want to talk about everything around it. Comments, work life, a change in dynamic, coming from, I'm going to go from lockdown of COVID into how full on the role can be. Did you struggle? This is a misperception. I don't know. You could say no. I'm used to hard work. I understand what it was about. Or did you have to adjust to a lot of things? Because I know I did. Yourself?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
And that's not me trying to sound a bit of a dickhead.
No, it's not. It's just about you.
I didn't struggle, and that is like a huge credit to Robbie, Jackie.
Yeah.
You know, so I mentioned all these people: Harvey, Laurie,
yeah,
Josh, and Brennan. Like everyone here, you as well.
Mm.
And I know I didn't struggle because in my former company, I won't mention them, not because there's anything to hide, just because there was a lot of good, but it wasn't all good.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was a new role, finding my feet, trying to get into it. And there were struggles there. There were times where, not trying to sound dramatic, I just have to take myself out of the office, regroup. I felt I had a job that was above my experience, above my understanding, above my kind of passion or whatever. But I gave it my all, and I got a lot better at it, kind of with every week or whatever. So I had that as like a template of, colleagues who were sometimes great, sometimes not the easiest to work with, a job that I felt overwhelmed by.
Yeah.
A job that I didn't wake up and think, I really want to do this. I liked it, as I say, some great people. I met some people I'm still in touch with who I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them were great, and they're super talented what they're doing. It's a great company. It was a personal thing for me and the role I was doing. So when I came here, it was just a pleasure to slot in quite quickly. And when I wanted to bring out the old tactical pad and a big TV, Robbie goes, done. That was an awful click.
Yeah.
I still can't click. There we
go.
He goes, done, fine. If that's what you want, if that's what you need to do your show, you get it.
Yeah, he's very open to let you flourish and give your ideas, and that's what you need. So. Yeah, it's what you need.
I mean,
look
at
all
this. Like,
I know, this is us. Yeah.
This is you going, this is what I want, and you worked hard with people behind the scenes to make it happen.
Yeah.
So their comments, I was nervous about them, but they were nice to me. Mm. I think overall they have been nice to me.
Yeah. I think we as presenters that we sometimes focus on the hate, but is a lot of love, and we are, it is normally, it's definitely more than the hate we receive.
Well,
one
thing that has, biggest thing I've learned, and I've learned a lot, but social media, that's where I'm like, I read a tweet 3 times before I post it, and I'm not even joking.
Serious?
Can I be misinterpreted in a certain way? Have I been fair? Have I? Because it's sharks out there, man.
Yeah.
Someone tagged me. I was just chilling, have a lovely time, watching a film, Saturday night, whatever. And I'm tagged in, so I have a little look, and it was like, typical AFTV, this James Bellend follows you and then unfollows you. I'm like,
James B.
Who is this guy? And like, I went through a stage of following loads of Arsenal fans, long before AFTV, by the way.
Yeah.
Of following loads of Arsenal fans. Anyone Arsenal fan, follow, build a community, hopefully they follow me back. And there's nothing worse, not nothing worse, there are many things worse. But you know when you tweet and no one responds.
Right.
Like, that wasn't what I got Twitter for. I got it to interact.
Yeah.
So I wanted to follow a lot of people. But over the months and years, if someone's talking absolute rubbish or I disagree with their opinion or their tone, listen, I'm going to unfollow you. if it's quite bad. Otherwise, I might just mute and go, look, not worthy, but whatever. But I must have followed this guy long ago.
Yeah.
And he started calling me out. All right, well, you unfollow, now you're blocked. So, you know, like, that's where it's a bit of a minefield. I said Coquelin, Torreira and Guendouzi are better than Xhaka. Oh my word. People I talked to got on me about
James,
that.
James, I remember you came into the studio. And
by the way, I stand by it.
Good man. So, and that's the energy. You know, that's the energy. It's fair.
People can take that how they want. They can take that as, well, they're all crap, so you're saying Xhaka's really crap. I'm like, no, I actually thought they were all good players and we didn't give them enough of a chance to, and I think Xhaka's okay.
Okay.
You know, but that's social media.
That's how social media works. Obviously, I agree, Coquelin. I've given my opinion on this earlier with you, but off camera.
Well, that's
but,
fun.
But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Do you take a step back in this year that you've been here? We've been here a year and I think a month. Yeah, a year and a month. Have you taken a step back to think, wow, I'm here? Like, I really enjoy what I do for a living. Because I know... I don't think we really get time. We definitely have time, but in my makeup, I don't really take a step back and think, look where we are, look how big the platform is. Have you had time to do that? Have you reflected at all?
I said I wanted to keep this podcast quite lighthearted and like fun and whatever. I'm very self-conscious, and but I don't mean self-conscious like worried of my flaws or anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
self-aware
is a much better.
Right, correct.
I'm very kind of conscious of things. Not all the time. Sometimes I'm that guy who walks through, we'll doesn't leave the door, says fan fuck instead of fun fact. I'm the guy who sometimes open the door, walk through, and forget to hold it. Like I said, sorry. And I try to be polite and my please and thank yous and all that. But I'm also very aware of, I mean, look at kind of, I mean, no, this is actually very serious now, but like look at, you know, people that on this channel who have been lost the last few years or whatever. Look at just kind of in general, like look at COVID. And in COVID maybe to a degree changed my perspective, but I think I had a little bit before. I'm very like, it's gonna sound really weird, like I do have moments where I just stop and I think, just like appreciate this all, just like just stop and just, it might not be here tomorrow. So you know, like just appreciate this all, because tomorrow's like outlook could be very different. And I try to, like, I'm not religious, I don't believe in a certain religion or whatever, but I believe in something.
Yeah.
And whatever that something is, I talk to it. I don't know who it is.
I'm exactly the same.
Applying to me, but I'm exactly the same. Sometimes I feel like there's an answer.
Higher powers.
I'm a bit, and I try and just, if I'm having a bad day at work, which is very rare, but if I'm having one of those days, I'll still come away and go, but what do you think that bloke's day was like?
Yeah.
Or that guy. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just saying you don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I try to be.
Okay.
Very aware and just kind of be like, I mean, look at that, it's the AFTV logo here, and you want to know about my life. Yeah. That's unbelievably humbling.
It is.
And like for anyone who watches this and vaguely enjoys it, that's unbelievably humbling. I've had a very, I was going to say standard upbringing, but it's not standard. I've had a very lucky upbringing, and I've had a lot of opportunities in life. So my biggest thing is, not wasting that, had that advantage. I think that's the biggest insult.
Yeah.
If you've got that help in life, and then you make nothing of it, you know, okay now.
Okay, James, we are slowly coming towards the end, and it is going.
Sorry if that got a bit heavy.
It happens in these chairs. And I'm going to go a little bit.
I've been sucked into the wisdom of the get out chair. Grey sofa.
You sucked into the sofa. We're going to keep following that towards the end of this. Okay. And I want to ask you, do you feel a sense of responsibility in a sense there's going to be young people watching you, young fans, wanting to be pundits, wanting to be sports journalists, understand stats and figures and whatnot. And I know this because I'm obviously out on the road quite a lot. People really like you and take to the stats, take to the numbers and think. And I'm sure there's going to be a generation of people that think, I want to be able to do that one day. Do you ever feel that? Have you ever even consciously thought about a responsibility of the fact that you might be filled in the next generation of stat men, shall we say? Obviously, there is other stat men available. I'm aware there has been other ones out, but you right now and what you're doing is great here at ATV?
Not in the way you've put it.
Okay.
Yes, I do feel a responsibility, but not in the way you put it. Because young statisticians, if that's the word, young people who want to do this, like, don't watch me, watch Statman Dave.
Statman Dave's great.
Statman Baines, who does United stuff, is great. Yeah.
Also watch, really good.
You know, watch Graham. But watch Gary Neville, watch Jamie Carragher. Yeah. Like, they're like...
But why would you not put yourself in that conversation?
Because I've been doing this a year and... I think I do some good content, but you know, it's not for everyone. But I feel a responsibility to... How do I put it?
You take so much pride, James, in the numbers you... I remember when we first started this and you got, I think, one number was... I don't think it was a number. I think it might have even been the spelling was wrong. You said something...
Spelling on a graphic.
Yeah, on a graphic. And you were so annoyed with yourself. Like, I know how much pride you take in this. This is why I say there must be some... air of, I need to make sure everything's right, correct, the numbers are there, and it's a sense of responsibility.
Well, there's one thing I want people to know when they come away from this is that we don't rock up, pull the mic up to our face and just talk. Like, okay, maybe for this, but no, not even for this. Well, the amount of prep you have done on this, but the amount of prep we do for the build-up and other things, like, sure, but I love it. But of course, I feel a responsibility to it, being on this platform, be bloody good at what I do, because people are tuning in and they want good content. So I put pressure on myself in that sense. I put pressure on myself, not pressure. I feel responsible in that I should be people watch us.
Yep.
So if I can leave these people with the most balanced overview of things, you know, that, how do I put it? I don't want people to have an opinion just because it's my opinion. So if we're talking about the Cronkies and I feel a certain way, I'll talk about why I feel that way. But I'll always put the other side out.
Yeah.
Because it's important that they also know that, and then they can make a decision on which side they land on.
Yeah.
Now, people get... That's actually one thing people really get to me for. Just say what you think, James. Stop being on the fence.
I get it as well.
Stop trying to, you know, look after your back. No, I just... If some people are coming and generally learning from our shows, and I like that.
Mm.
If they are, I want them to either have facts, or if it's opinion-based, to know what all the opinions could consist of and all the different sides.
Yeah.
So Stan Kroenke. Awful owner, doesn't care about the club, blah blah blah. Sure, but I'll be there to tell you that he spent 700 million in the last 6-7 seasons.
Yeah.
So if it's a money thing, is that really true? And that's where I'll always try and, you know, I'll always try and be researched. Actually, I had a bad moment when we were talking about this lawsuit for the Cronkies on News Daily the other day.
Yeah,
I wasn't researched enough on it, and actually halfway through the show I thought, that's poor, James. Like, you shouldn't. Like, that's not good enough. And I do take pride in that. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's important. That for me, I think, is best practice for anyone.
Yeah.
And big up to the masters I did in sports journalism, and Dara, and he does an amazing course at St Mary's, and all the guys I worked with. I mean, people like Dan, Michael, Ollie. I'm shouting them out if they ever watch this. Like, I learned so much from them and so many more people because they taught me. If I put something in an article, well, why have you included that?
Yeah.
Why did you write that? Where's it come from?
Yeah.
When you're interviewing someone, have you done your research? You know who this person is. And I take a lot of those. Think how many times, I'm sorry to dig you out here, to use picture of a goal. And I said,
off the internet, yeah.
That's broadcast footage.
Straight
you can't
Google.
Use that, whatever. Yeah. So I try to hold those standards for what I do here and AFTV and stuff.
And it's the right thing to do. That wasn't a dig out at all. That was, you know me, I'm like, oh, let's get it off online. It's fine, it's on there. No, got to do it the proper way. Yeah.
I try to, but yeah.
That's how it should be. So there's a sense of responsibility there. Now, that is it for today's
you know AFTV. You know everything about me. Oh my word,
it's mad. And that's how it should be. I mean, I consider you a very close friend and now a life friend, not just a work colleague. I said this with Turkish as well. I think we've all grown to be very close, so I appreciate you as a friend and someone I work with. To finish up, I always do this for the Inside AFTV pods. Is there anything you want to say to the people listening or watching? Anything I might have not have questioned you on? You want to let them know. You've said quite a lot of things that are really good gems, if I'm honest. So
I think everyone here's got to know me in a away from Arsenal perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is the point of this.
And I hope, this might make it redundant, but I hope, you know, some of the stuff I've talked about, whatever, doesn't come across as smug or lacking humility or anything. Like, I'm aware of kind of how lucky I've been at times, how amazing like my family have been to me, my grandparents. Like, I moved out of late, couldn't have done that without their help. Like, I've been very lucky in a lot of ways, but you know, with that, you know, you still got to work hard and make things happen. And just a big thank you to everyone who. Like, I didn't see myself necessarily as people's cup of tea on AFTV.
Right.
Numbers, monotone voice. I don't throw the banter out like other people. I don't have that over-exuberant energy or whatever. But everyone's been, like, super nice, super lovely. Anyone who's kind of critical, that's cool as well. Just chat to me about it. And, yeah, like... It's been fun.
Been good.
Misperceptions.
Yeah, misperception is the theme.
Me and my private school education can't say misperceptions.
Well, I hope people are more clear on, obviously, on James. And I think I don't like that you say that it's you were lucky. I don't like that. I think everyone has their own journey and their own life, their own story. I wouldn't say it's ever luck. I think you make your own luck by the work you put in, and you've put in a lot of work throughout your life to get to where you are today. So I'm gonna eradicate that from saying lucky, that you've worked hard for where you are, and people should understand that as well.
No, I appreciate that.
But thank you, James, for joining me in this Inside AFTV.
Thank you for joining me. There you go. This is me playing presenter now. No, thank you for having me. This is more intense than I, in a good way. But yeah. But I can see why it draws a lot out of people. I remember some of the revelations that I said before, I was thinking, okay.
Yeah.
But no, this is really good fun. Thank you.
Listen, thank you everyone.
And don't forget to check out Trap 7.
Make sure you check out James's playlist, and thank you all for listening or watching to
Pop
this.
Smoke was the latest upload on that, I must say.
To this Inside AFTV podcast. Thank you everyone for listening and joining. We'll see you again next time. Take care. Peace.